It's Vanessa Garrity here again from Beyond the Room, and I'm here at York University for the World Mental Health Day event, which, if you're listening on Twitter, is WMHD York hashtag. Okay, and I'm here with Della Bailey, who's just given a really fascinating presentation around a study for people with severe mental health difficulties who are wanting to give up smoking. So I'm just interested in catching Della for a few minutes, and particularly for clinicians who are listening, to just find out a bit more about the study and what the results were, really. So Della, for people who are listening online who aren't here today, could you just give people a flavour of the study that you've been talking about today and what the kind of outcomes of that were?
Yeah, so what we did was we developed a bespoke smoking cessation intervention, which followed the basic structure of the National Centre for Smoking Cessation training, but was more flexible. So we offered home visits, so most people were actually seen in their own home. We offered up to 12 sessions, where with a normal stop smoking service you'd normally get six. I mean, what some of the people who helped us with the study, the participants, said was that they really valued the fact that it was a mental health nurse who was supporting them to stop smoking, and that they felt that they had an understanding of their mental health and how that might impact on them stopping smoking.
So why do you think it was important that people were seen in their own homes?
Well, I think it was around giving them a choice. So we asked them where they'd prefer to be seen, and most people preferred to be seen in their own home. But we did find that it was really useful because if other family members were there, then they had an awareness of what the person was trying to do and some of the things that might help or some of the things that might get in the way of that. We could see the environment that they were living in, you know, look at things that might get in the way of them stopping smoking, such as, you know, if they didn't have anywhere to go outside to smoke, say if they lived in a flat or whatever, just thinking about ways of if they had somebody else that lived with them who smoked, you know, what could they do to make things easier for them by not smoking around them and that sort of thing.
I can imagine as well the unpredictability of somebody who's struggling with a mental health on a day-to-day, that being able to see people at home might have cut down kind of people who were struggling to attend appointments and things like that.
Yes, I think it definitely did, because if they forgot, as long as they hadn't gone out, then, you know, the practitioner would still, the mental health smoking cessation practitioner would still turn up, and in most cases people were quite happy to go ahead then. It's just that they'd, you know, that they'd forgotten. And so that did seem to work quite well.
We've heard some interesting things today, really, about clinicians having a perception that people with severe mental health difficulties might not be wanting to give up smoking, versus people who've been recruited into these studies who've actually said the majority of times that they really wanted some help giving up smoking. Have you got any thoughts about that?
I mean, we did a survey beforehand, and we did find that the number of people that wanted to give up smoking was comparable with that of the general population. So there didn't seem to be a particular difference there.
Yeah, it's really interesting just thinking about my own practice and the kind of perception that people with more severe mental health difficulties might really struggle to give up smoking, or that smoking might be the only thing that they've got in their lives, you hear that kind of thing. So I think it's really important the way that's kind of challenged some of those preconceived ideas and people have been able to participate.
Yeah, because one of the things that people did say was that one of the reasons they spoke was to combat boredom, and they didn't have, you know, they didn't have a lot to do, so that often led to them smoking. So what we did as part of the bespoke smoking cessation intervention was spend some time looking with them at other things that they could do that would take the place of smoking. We thought that that was really important, because if every time they got bored, you know, that they it was leading them to smoke, then we needed to think about, well, what can help with that, yes, with that boredom in the first place.
That's, again, important, isn't it? Message that it's not just about the physical addiction, mm, but it's about what helps a person to, you know, continue to abstain, to change their lifestyle.
Yes.
Around smoking. And what kind of things did people put in place once they'd given up smoking to kind of help maintain that?
A lot of people initially tried to do things that would occupy their mind, yeah, or would actually get them out of the environment because of the environmental, yeah, cues. So a lot of people would go for a walk, or some people did, you know, they do puzzles or do things that really kind of engaged yeah, their mind so that they weren't thinking about it. It was really varied. Actually, and what we did was try to get them to come up with their own solutions. Yeah. We could help them and give them a variety of suggestions that maybe other people had used, but it was what they felt would work for them was very important.
It's a very individualised approach.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Great. And I mean, I know this because I've just heard your presentation. What were the main reasons that people said that they wanted to give up smoking for?
They realised that their physical health was suffering. That was one of the top reasons that they wanted to give up, and also financial reasons as well. You know, somebody who's got a really heavy smoking habit can be spending several thousand pounds a year on cigarettes, and, you know, a lot of people said that when they stopped, then they actually totaled that up and they realised how much they've been spending and how much more money they got to spend on other things that they really wanted to do, that really brought it home to them. But yeah, you know, and also I think that they'd done it themselves. They'd had that bit of support, but they'd done it themselves. And I think that really boosted their sense of achievement. And actually, you know, they've probably been told a lot of times in their lives that, oh, you know, you won't be able to do this, you can't manage it, and they've done something themselves which a lot of people thought they couldn't do, and that really boosted their confidence, I think, as well.
Yeah, it's really good, isn't it? Really good to hear. And so what kind of outcomes have you been having, kind of, are people continuing to abstain from smoking over a period of months? Has that been followed up?
Yeah, so we looked at 6 and 12 months as the times when we asked people whether they were still smoking, and we also verified that with a carbon monoxide measure as well. And we did find that the people who had the bespoke smoking intervention were a lot more likely to have quit and stopped smoking than people in the usual care arm that we compared them with.
That's great. And were they getting ongoing support, or did that stop once they'd been through the programme? I guess a lot of it was the nurses who they were working with, wasn't it?
It was in some cases, in which case that would carry on. Because it was a trial, we couldn't kind of carry on providing support after that. But what we did do was, 6 weeks after we'd actually finished our contact with them, we offered them a follow-up call, and that was just to check, basically to see, well, were they having any problems with, say, getting NRT or, you know, or any other thing that we could just maybe contact the GP about and just try and ensure that the support or the NRT that they needed was carrying on.
Yeah, brilliant. I think we're about to start back, so any final points, really, for people who are listening online?
I suppose from a nursing or a practitioner point of view, the feedback that I got from some of the mental health smoking cessation practitioners was wonderful. You know, they said they helped this person to stop smoking, and, you know, in some cases their physical, they could see already the changes and the benefits to their physical health, and they said that actually being able to support somebody to do with that was amazing, and they'd just been so glad that they'd done it.
Oh, that's brilliant. Really positive message. Thank you.